It's time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Now, Jim, of course, joins us every week. He's an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, and he brings many years of experience. We're going to just take the years out of it. Many years of experience to those subjects and more. And ladies and gentlemen, let us bring in the many years of experience, Mr. Lynch. It just sounds better, Jim. You know, it doesn't date us all.
Well, now that the ice has thawed, here I am once again live on Robin Hood Radio with the delightful Jill and the charming Marshall Miles.
See, you can tell he just thawed.
I done thawed. Coffee will take care of anything. Anyhow, folks, a big lot to cover here. Let's start with the success, or apparent success, of Donald Trump and those who voted for him, mainly Republicans, in that he has exerted a tremendous amount of energy and action to preventing the illegals from getting into this country. In fact, he's gone so far as to abuse the civil rights of children and babies, locking kids up in pens, and basically sending hundreds and hundreds of people who are under 18 elsewhere in the country, from the border to New York City, to Seattle, etc. I am certain the base, let me define the base as I see it, the Republican base. I think we have the cult fringe, which says okay to anything Donald Trump does. And then we've got everybody else who have various meandering viewpoints, but are probably much more open when things, facts really start hitting them between the eyes. And I think this abuse of children, abuse of the human rights of adults as well, which probably goes against international law, certainly God's law, I think they're waking up to it. And hopefully we'll get through this. I don't know how the government has mucked it up by losing track of these young people, these babies. And I would point out to the government, if anybody's listening, there are a tremendous amount of attorneys now down on the border. And I would imagine some of them are talking claims of kidnapping. Since once the baby comes in, you can't take that baby arbitrarily and send it to New York City. And God forbid one of these infants or one of these children dies in custody, we probably have second-degree murder against the government. But enough of the fun stuff. Let's get to another thing that the base might want to start looking at, keeping with the baby theme. We've had ongoing for years now, but really accelerated by the Trump administration, tours that have been sold to Russians and Ukrainians and Chinese. I'll get into that in a minute. The tours to the Russians and the Ukrainians are tours whereby you pay money, you come to this country with a visa, legally, but you're not a citizen, and your wife or your girlfriend has a baby, and that baby becomes a U.S. citizen with all the rights of a U.S. citizen. Now, I wonder how the Republicans, the people at large, our country, feel about this, since we are giving citizenship based on money, and since we are giving citizenship to people who we're supposed to think are our enemies, namely the Russians. Also, the base must look at, the Republican base and all of us, because we're all these tariffs, which are beginning, have already begun to affect us, the U.S. worker, the U.S. consumer. As you've read, Harley Davidson is probably going to move employees to Europe because the cost of the tariff.
You know, Jim, I want to chime in here. The tariff cost, I found out this morning, normally in France, and by the way, when they sell in Europe, when they sell Harley-Davidsons, they have a big sign out front, and this is what distinguishes them, Made in America. And I was listening to a French Harley-Davidson dealer. The tariff on the bikes would go from 60-some dollars to well over $2,000 a bike. And he said, and by moving the production to France,
right,
it also takes away to the French dealers the fact that it's no longer made in America. That's one of the big selling points of Harley-Davidson in Europe. So once again, the tariff is striking back. The next one you'll hear from is the bourbon people, because bourbon's only made in one country, and that is right here. And if you add $10 to $20 to a bottle of bourbon, it's very quickly going to turn things around.
And we can add to that the farmers who are already complaining, particularly the soybean farmers. We sell China a lot of soybeans, and already, like a month and a half ago, maybe more, the Chinese have started buying their beans from South America. So this is going to, if these tariffs proceed, we're going to see prices go up for U.S. citizens, and unfortunately, jobs going down. This will sound funny, but it's not funny. The last known nail, N-A-I-L, manufacturer in this country has seen its sales drop like 60%. It's laid off. It's a small company, 500 people. I think it's laid off 50 or 60 people. So in terms of what Donald Trump, the president, promised, he's putting into action. He's creating a debacle on the human rights scene. He could be leading us and the world into a recession. And I just say, please, take notice of this. And, you know, whoever you talk to or write to, do that to protest. I don't know that it matters, because the person running the government feels he's beyond the Constitution, and he feels he's beyond consulting. It was rather disturbing to see that Secretary of Defense Mattis, and this goes in line with this overall theme. We were told by President Trump that he would keep us safe and this, that, and the other thing. Well, Mattis is the Secretary of Defense with probably not quite as many years as I have doing what he's doing, but he's a very important person. And apparently Trump is giving over certain responsibilities to Bolton, who's his national security chief, who is also a guy who shoots from the hip and is very dangerous, and to Secretary of State Pompeo, who's new to his job. Now, this is important because Mattis was not informed of the Iran deal, wasn't asked to give his position on it, namely getting out of it. And he also wasn't asked on the elimination of the maneuvers in South Korea and the elimination of troops in South Korea. Now, this is extremely important because we're going into this without the benefit of military expertise. The idea is to keep us safe. If South Korea has problems, it's going to be a problem for us, not so much that we even have to go in to defend them, but they will fall more under the umbrella of China. Along those lines in Asia, Pompeo has said that there's no time date on the denuclearization of North Korea. Now, how is that possible if after a week of celebration, we have nothing, zippo, to show in terms of our dealing with North Korea, other than we are shortchanging the Japanese and South Koreans by taking our protection away, or supposedly we're taking our protection away. Kim Jong-un is now the big brother or possibly the young child of Xi of China. Kim has visited China three times. This is a guy who never went out of the country, and now he and China are locked. And finally, on this international thing, I think, South Korea, the head of South Korea, spent 3 days with Putin in Russia just last week. And what's that telling us? It's telling us that South Korea doesn't trust the U.S., and they're looking to make sure they can rely on Russia in a pinch for certain things, Russia being so close to North and South Korea. So again, on the immigration front, the economic front, the international front, or the safety front, the security front, the president seems to be letting us down. I guess his cult followers will want to be drawn into war before they believe it. Maybe they won't believe it then. They'll blame it on, who knows, maybe they'll blame it on George Washington.
Can I ask you, I've got a question I want to ask you as a layperson who doesn't know a ton about the stock market, who follows politics, even though lately I don't watch on TV and stuff, but I do read. The stock market. Can the stock market, even though it's like an indicator, it's like watching a batting average in baseball, as far as I'm concerned, or a winning percentage of a baseball team that's on a streak. Can the stock market, with continued losses because of obviously instability in the tariffs, do what all the videos did and force the president to make a change? I mean, the president backed down on the immigration thing. Is the stock market wise enough and separate enough from the president to keep sending the message to him that appears that it's showing without sending a message? It's just showing the instability. Will that cause him to possibly turn around? Will leaders of business possibly cause this to turn around?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to answer the question, but if you think in reality, who could speculate what the current president will do? But no, you know, there are things that even he can't get away from. Yes, at the end of January, we got very, on the show and elsewhere, very negative on the stock market, told people to sell, you know, other than maybe those long-term holdings. And I just use that as a point of reference, nothing else. The stock market went down 2,000 points thereafter. Then bottomed, it went back up 700 points. It's now on its way back down. My original number for the Dow was 18,000. It's now 24,000. I mentioned this to the beloved Jill on this show. That said, I think, you know, the stock market is beginning to gain a certain momentum, and it's to the downside. Now, business leaders have been articulating in private, and we've seen them in public articulating that these tariffs are ridiculous because they hurt us as citizens and consumers and businessmen. So that message has been given. Albeit it pretty lightly. Morgan Stanley, I think, came out, a large brokerage investment bank, yesterday, and was a little bit stronger. I think the key is the market itself. As we know, the president loves the headlines. He loves to say, oh, look how good I am, and this indicator is good for me. If we get down to 18,000, 20,000, something in that area, and we begin to see the bear really take over, then in some way or another, I would think that there will be mitigation of some of these policies, particularly in the economic area. However, I'm going to...
I'm going to say it, and then you can either agree or disagree. However, given the, let's just say, government's ability to, shall we say, prop or protect, let's call it protect, the market, it's not necessarily going to be as, it can't be used as compellingly and quickly, is the answer to Marshall's question, as some of those images were. How's that for diplomacy?
I kind of didn't quite get it. You're saying the market what? I'm sorry.
I'm saying that the market is manipulable.
I'm going to say that what she's saying is that the market is manipulable, but also if it does have an effect, it will take a much longer time to affect the president than the pictures.
Okay. Well, let's deal with the first thing. It is manipulated and can be manipulated, and it can be manipulated by the federal government. There was... I don't know how we'd call it, but in 1987, when we had that huge break in one day of 500 points, the government created something called the Plunge Protection.
The Plunge Protection Team, the PPP.
Right.
The PPT.
And see, that's probably been in action already. And yes, of course, sure, the government can come in. The government can come in and do that, okay? But there's no guarantee of success. And let me tell you something. On a much smaller level, I've seen traders over my few years in the business basically step in to protect the position, which was the wrong. They were totally wrong-sided, and they got slaughtered. The same thing will happen with the federal government if they don't get the cooperation of Wall Street. So if we'll say a Goldman Sachs says, okay, I'll enter your orders to buy the stocks, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not sticking around. I'm getting out. Once the plunge protection situation becomes public knowledge, smart people say, no way, Jose, and they get out. It's a sign of tremendous, tremendous weakness. Also, the federal government is not quite in the shape it was even in 87 to do this. We are $23 trillion in debt. Our taxes are going to be coming down on the corporate level because of the tax cut. Taxes from individuals are not going to do much because we didn't really raise them that much to affect a lot of tax revenue. So, yes, it can be manipulated. Now, can it be manipulated by individuals? Definitely. And by big brokerage firms? Definitely. But only on a short-term basis. Those people, as much money as they have in the short air, in the private sector, once people catch wind of what they're doing, they'll take the other side of the trade and push them down. We've seen this. And we've seen it on television where some of these big hitters have gone against one another in terms of various companies. One of them that Drake's makes the protein drink, I can't remember his name. But a guy lost billions of dollars by taking the wrong side of that trade. So manipulative, you got to be very careful. There's no guarantee whatsoever on that. Mm-hmm. Now the second thing, in terms of how long it takes for to impact the president, the government, if we really believe we have a government left. Well, I don't disagree. I don't agree it's going to take that long a time. It depends on how quickly it goes down and how much it goes down. If we go down 500 points a day for the next 4 days, I can assure you they're going to change their tune. If it goes down 100, 200, 300 a day, rallies 50 points, some of the action we kind of saw during the last several months, oh, yeah, it'll take a little bit longer. But there's one thing about markets. When they stop going up or stop going down, people who had been in that position, for instance, let's take the long side. When people already are disenchanted with the market from the standpoint, gee, it's not going up the way it used to. That makes them think. That makes them get off the dime of, gee, it's been going up great. I'm staying with it. Hey, I'm buying more. All of a sudden, it starts backing off for a couple of days, a couple of months, whatever. They begin to think and say, wait a second. I had 35% on my money. Now I've got 22%. And, maybe I should take some off the table or. And then you've got many of the people who say, oh, no, it's fine. And then when it gets back to their cost, then they sell it. And that's the kind of thing that leads to a market run.
All right.
So when I look at everything that we've been talking about now or talking about previously in this conversation, one-sided though it be, I would say you get a move of a couple of thousand points, that's going to wake everybody up.
Right.
Another thing that...
We have about a minute and a half left, Jim.
Okay. Look to our allies. If our allies begin to say...
Can't hear you.
The allies begin to say, we are giving up on USA, we can't rely on them, that will be one of the more dangerous things to happen to the overall market. Because we rely on them for military help. If you look at the current administration is in chaos. You have the Secretary of Treasury saying we're going to put tariffs on everybody. Then you have the economic advisors say, oh, no, we're not. That's the kind of thing that scares the bejeebus out of a market. Anyhow, folks, as John Meacham says and other very smart people, including Bourdain in some of his writings, we will get through this, but you've got to help get through it by keeping a positive, uplifting thing in your head and a strategy that works for you and your family, and it's not necessarily going on with the party line. Vote this November. Have a great day. Kiss the kids. It's wonderful out there. Get out and get a little fresh air. Do some breathing. See you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.